racing back to the warning track, to the wall. Upper deck, goodbye baseball.
The Jerry DePoto Show.
A tape measure home run by Nelly Cruz.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
The Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It is the Jerry DePoto Show. We're joined by the GM now via the Venue Kings hotline. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to join us yet again.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. I actually told you last week that if we were talking this week, it must have meant that we were on a playoff push, but apparently I was wrong.
Well, there was no doubt about the playoff push. You guys took it right up to the very end. I guess as we get going, what are your reflections on this that last month of the regular season and probably what your team showed to you?
I thought first to answer the last question first, we have made so much progress in regard to our culture, our environment, and I think that's what you saw in September. A group of players who believed in one another, they believed in the group around them, the manager, the coaches, et cetera, and talked about it a lot dating back to this time last offseason, that was our primary goal, was to set up a culture and an environment that would breed winning. And organizationally, I think we did that. I think I mentioned it last week. We took it down to the last day, game 161 at the major league level. And organizationally, we played in 967 games, 966 of which had playoff implications, which is a pretty exciting thing for us as an organization. None of us is satisfied with the final outcome at the big league level, and we know we have a lot of work to do. But we're all quite happy with the progress that we've made in 1 year.
Well, yeah, Jerry, I know a lot of people disappointed. I'm sure you're at the top of that list. But still, at the same time, you look back on a season like that, and it was sure entertaining and fun. What was your reaction to how Mariner fans handled everything?
I'm not in the middle of it. I am a fan myself, so I know that there is a feeling of disappointment. There's no question about that. And I hope that everyone understands that we made progress, and that's what I take away. It certainly stung on Saturday night when you realize that you're eliminated, then you go home. It was probably a little tougher to fall asleep that night than any other during the course of the season, barring those nights when you were worried about the injuries. But all in all, I was really encouraged about the way the season went. Again, the performance that we got out of some of our star players and some of the performances that we got from the guys that were more supporting cast going in and maybe proved to be much more than that. So I walk away as both the general manager of the club and the fan feeling excited about 2017. And unfortunately, I don't get to be excited for too long. I got to get to work.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, Jerry. Is there no rest for the wicked, or do you get a chance to take some time off?
Actually, we had a postseason. We ended up on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're just wall-to-wall meetings with our various departments, scouting, player development, major league, medical, training, et cetera. And today is the first day where we're taking a blow. So exhale a little bit today and tomorrow, and come Monday, we'll be back at it and see what we can do in terms of reshaping this roster. I don't think we'll see as much change this year as we saw last year, but there's still a lot that we need to do and some focal points for us. We've got some free agents that are departing, some that may or may not be back, and we've got some holes to fill as we head into 17.
We're talking with Jerry DePoto here, and this might be premature to ask this, but Jerry, you were pretty clear last year that you wanted to get more athletic and deepen the starting rotation, the pitching on the team last offseason. Is there as clear a sort of mission this offseason for you guys?
What you just said, is always going to be points one and two, and we do want to get more athletic. We want to get a little bit younger. It's we won 86 games, which I think is a 10-game improvement over 15. Again, happy but not satisfied. We also had by age, we had the oldest position player club in the league. So, that's going to need to be solved. We've got a great core in Cano and Cruz and Seager. We did develop some nice young players that I feel like are ready to contribute in a more meaningful way next year. And Ben Gamel, potentially Dan Vogelbach, Guillermo Heredia. We'd like to see some steps forward by some of our other young players, a guy like Ketel Marte. comes to mind. I thought we saw good developments from Mike Zunino, and he put himself in position to be a part of that core moving forward. And our pitching depth is ahead of our pitching impact in some ways. And I think some of that is just going to be solved by happy, healthy seasons from Felix Hernandez, from Taiwan Walker, and just seeing 30 starts from James Paxton at the major league level. I think what Pax did probably flies under the radar because his season was split between AAA and the big leagues, but very, very encouraged by the progress that James made. I thought he had a very solid year and quite excited to see what he does in 17.
You mentioned Felix Hernandez, Jerry. What is the offseason? What would you guys like to see from him this offseason?
Probably the same thing that he would like to see, is just to put himself in a position to come out in spring training and compete to the best of his ability. And that requires going home and just getting after it. You know, Felix is a proud guy. He has accomplished so much in this game. Cy Young winner. It's the first 10 years of his career are going to line up with just about anybody you see in the Hall of Fame. And this is a challenge to him. He had a down year by his own standards, and he had a down year in terms of just staying healthy. The health part you can't control. You can control your preparation. And I think Felix left with the idea that he was going to go home and prepare. I know he wants to take part in the 2017 WBC, and you know, he and I talked about that before he left town. One of the prerequisites of doing that is being prepared to take the inning load when spring training starts. And, you know, that's something I know he's focused on. He's, again, a proud guy who wants to represent his country and should. I've encouraged it. And I think through the offseason, that will probably put him on a little different throwing program, and we'll see if that helps. You know, one thing I know, having played a season at 29 and having played a season at age 30 myself, after you hit 30, it's a little tougher to prepare every year, and I think Felix is just making that adjustment.
This might be a little bit of ignorance on my part, but for a pitcher, when they get older, is it a question of getting stronger? Is it building up more stamina? That conditioning, how does a pitcher improve at that age in his career?
The work habits associated with preparing to play a season after you get that, truly, it's beyond the age of 30. Yeah, you may all remember former great major league reliever by the name of Dan Quisenberry. Mm-hmm. As a young player, I worked out in the offseason with Dan Quisenberry, and he used to joke around with me, "Hey, save some of those bullets. Yes, one day you're going to turn 30, and it's going to be hard to tie your shoes." And he was right. You know, watching the great players take that first 10 years, 12 years of their career that usually happen in their 20s, you know, where the bulk of them happen in their 20s, once they get past 30, it's about routines. It's getting into routines and being diligent in your preparation. You know, when you're 25 and it's easy and you can throw 95, 96 and wicked movement and the strikes come easy to you, it's a little bit easier to prepare than when you're 35. And now you have to spend the extra time on the treadmill, spend the extra time in the weight room, spend the extra time preparing and knowing your opponents. And you know, everyone has that moment in their careers, at least everyone who's going to have a significant career after the age of 30. And I guess the stars, the Nolan Ryans who are still doing it when they're 44, that's extreme. But the diligence and the preparation required, that's something that most guys have to adjust to. And I think you've seen this year was a great example of it. Robinson Cano, after an injury-riddled 2015 season, came out this year, and his preparation was unbelievable. You could see it the first day in spring training, the shape he was in, the attention he paid to the detail through the off season, and as a result, he put together a 162-game season that rivals any in what I think is a general, I most would assume to be a Hall of Fame career. Yeah, and Felix is now encroaching upon that same moment in his career. At age 30, he's going to start his 31-year-old season next year, and it's his time to make that adjustment. He knows that. I think he picked up on it this year, and it's something that we're there to help him with. And like I said at the beginning, I know he's very talented. He's very proud, and I think he's gonna go home and do what he can do to make sure. Yeah, he said it in his own way when he was leaving, that he was going to come back, you know, as King Felix. We saw King Felix. We saw it periodically through the course of the season, and I think once he has a chance to get into his routines and establish what the next stage of his career is going to look like, we'll see it again.
Same type of question for Taiwan Walker. What do you expect from him in the offseason, and do you anticipate he'll have surgery?
I do. I don't think it's going to be a major surgery. The good thing about Taiwan, the issue that he was dealing with his foot, was and I don't know if I can put it as simply as a doctor can, since that's not my field, but he had a calcification on the back of the bone in his foot. That was, you know, it's not deemed as a big deal by medical standards. And I think a lot of the issue he had in regard to the discomfort he was dealing with kind of seeded into the month of September. And he had no complaint. He had no issue with it. And we would like to, we're encouraging him to go in for a cleanup just to make sure that we don't have to deal with it again, because it's a fairly simple process by medical standards that will allow him to avoid any kind of recurrence next year, which would be a real positive. But Taiwan, I thought the last 30 days of Taiwan's season was about as encouraging as anything else that happened for us in the last 2 months of the year. His diligence, and you know, he got roughed up a little bit by the Angels there in his home start to start the month, and you know, that was, I think, a little bit sobering for him. And he spent a ton of time with Mel Stottlemyre Jr., really focused on recreating the lower half in his delivery. We saw an incredible uptick in the quality and consistency of his curveball. And I thought for the last, most of his last three or four starts of the season, he pitched like a front of the rotation type starter, including at times being spectacular. So, you know, again, you have Taiwan going to pitch next year at 24. We've got guys that are going to pitch an A ball who are about the same age as Taiwan. And you know, we got a couple of guys we drafted last year who will play next year at the same age. So, you know, we have to take his development with a grain of salt, understand that sometimes it just takes time. And you know, Taiwan showed moments this year that lead you to believe he's turning a corner, and we hope that 2017 is the year he gets around the edge.
Hey, Jerry, can you give us an evaluation of first base? Adam Lynn, Daeho Lee, just what you thought about that and anything going forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with both as now pending free agents, you know, once the World Series ends, both Adam and Daeho will be free agents. I think in total, if I count their level of productivity as a first baseman, our first baseman this year had a 750 OPS, 30 home runs, and 92 RBI. No matter how you count it, that's not too bad. I know the expectations were higher, and at given points in time, you know, you may have been disappointed in the performance over the course of a day or a week, but I think most people, when we were leaving spring training last year, if you said, hey, your first baseman's going to throw up a 750 OPS with 30 and 92, will you take it? I think we would take it. So it was probably not as even as we would have liked. Daeho was great the first half of the year, really struggled in much of the second. Adam got off to a really rough start in the last first 6 weeks of the season, and never quite got on track, but showed us periods, two-week, three-week stretches where he was very good. And between the two of them, I thought they had, you know, I can't even count the number of big hits they had. You know, the game-winning homers for both, the pinch-hit homers for Daeho, a big three-run homer for Adam Lynn versus the Cardinals really stands out. But, you know, we'll have to replace them. And, you know, this isn't one of those things where we're going in with a super low floor with a chance to improve at first base. We are going to have to, you know, replace a 750 OPS with 30 and 92, which is no slam dunk.
Well, I'm curious. I don't know if you're going to tell us, though, whether you're interested in bringing Daeho Lee back or not. And then if Lynn were to leave, do you think Vogelbach is ready to assume that role next year?
Yeah, with Daeho, you know, it matters. I guess it remains to be seen. We still have to have discussions. You know, one of the things we did talk about through the course of the end of the season is, in a perfect world, we can get away from being so platoon-centric. You know, the intention is to find as many, you know, full-time players as you can. And part of our issue in roster management, and this was most readily seen when we sent Nori Aoki back to AAA the second time when we were leaving or in Chicago to play the White Sox, you know, we had so many roster issues to try to manage, largely because we were trying to platoon at three and sometimes four positions. And that's a really tough thing to do at any level. But when you're working with a 25-man roster, at times it can just be unmanageable. So, you know, we did the best we could with it. We'd like to find more full-time solutions, but unfortunately, much of that, you know, the full-time solutions come from developing them within your own system. And we do feel like Dan Vogelbach is going to be a part of our solution. Don't know yet if he's ready to assume full-time duty. Do believe that Dan is capable of hitting both right and left-hand pitchers, and that when he's at full development, he's going to be a full-time player. He's not going to need a partner. But there's still some things he needs to do, particularly defensively, to prove to us that he can handle first base on a regular basis. He is in our major league plans for 2017, and we'll develop him appropriately. But the one thing we've done, and we will continue to do, is build up enough depth on our roster so that we're not just throwing him into the deep end of the pool to sink. You know, we will allow him to swim at his own pace and hopefully build a team around him that accents his strengths and covers for his weaknesses.
Jerry, we saw you guys so active last offseason in reshaping this roster into what you wanted and what you'd like to see moving forward with that athleticism and pitching depth. As you look toward this offseason, do you expect more activity in terms of trades or in terms of free agency? Where do you think you guys will be most active?
I'm always inclined to lean more toward the trade. I bet you're shocked to hear that. I prefer trades. I prefer, you know, to me there are three forms of acquisition. I guess there are, it's draft and develop, it's trade or waiver claim, and I would count those in the same bucket. And then there's free agents. And, you know, the free agents or the market for free agency now is much, much different over the last 2 or 3 years than it has been at any time in my baseball life, dating back to being a fan in the 70s. But, you know, it's a... The way free agency works today, you're going to see fewer and fewer prime years star level players reach the market. You know, extensions such as they are in today's game, it's, you know, that's the mod thing is extending your young players, and generally those players are being extended into their young 30s. And you know, once a player is in his young 30s working on an extension, he comes out on the other side as a 33 or 34 year old free agent. And you know, what we're trying to do as a club is figure out a way to get a little younger, a little more athletic, and a little more versatile. And you're not going to do that entirely through free agency. So to me, free agency for us is likely to be about accent pieces more than core pieces. I'd be shocked if you didn't see a trade or two along the way, because that's just my nature, is to prefer that's the way you're going to know more about the player you're getting. And that's the more likely destination for us. And I also think that our minor league system is closer to producing help for us in the form of guys like Tyler O'Neill and Andrew Moore and Paul Blackburn, like you saw this year with Edwin Diaz and Dan Altavilla. And you couple those six guys with Ben Gamel, with Guillermo Heredia, and we are starting to make a little bit of progress. And, you know, Taiwan, James Paxton, Mike Zunino, Ketel Marte, there are some young guys that we have that we're building with. So I feel like we're in a pretty diverse position with our roster. We'll use free agency to access the components that help us get through the short term, and we'll look to develop and trade for the long term.
Yeah, you mentioned Mike Zunino there, Jerry. How pleased were you with, because you guys had a plan with him coming out of spring training and going into the season. How pleased were you with his development?
Thrilled. And I, you know, Mike's a hard worker. Mike has leadership skills that I didn't realize, you know, the extent to which he had them. He's great to have on a club. And as I told him when we were leaving on Sunday, if he can figure out a way to throw up a 750 to 800 OPS catch and throw the way he does and hit the ball over the fence, I'll build statues of you for doing that. But the, you know, we saw it in a very uneven way. Obviously, when he first came back, that first 4 or 5 weeks, it was tremendous. Yeah, he was, I mean, it was prime years Johnny Betts. He was bombing and he could catch and throw, and he had, you know, some energy on the field. We never saw the catch throw ebb. He maintained that all year long, and I think that's a testament to him. But obviously, we got into a rut in September where he just wasn't swinging the bat as well. I think you're going to deal with that with Mike. You know, he's swinging and missing is going to be a part of his package. You're never going to eliminate that. But I'm very proud of what he did in terms of getting a grasp on controlling the strike zone. He did a great job of understanding where the strike zone ends, you know, the outside corner. Unfortunately, there's, you know, you're going to run into hot and cold streaks, But we really got away from Mike just going out there and flailing at the breaking ball. And he identified the breaking ball a lot more readily and a lot more consistently than he ever had in the past. You know, and now we'll make the next adjustment, which is adjusting to the fastball, because now the league is going to pitch him different because they've seen him make an adjustment. Now it's kind of like a tennis match. A baseball season or a baseball career is a series of returning the serve and making the adjustments as required. And, you know, now it's Mike's turn to make his next adjustment.
How do you figure out what to do in left and right field, Jerry? I mean, I see the club options on Smith and Aoki, and not sure if you want to exercise those options or not. And then I was encouraged anyway. I think a lot of Mariner fans were too, with Ben Gamel and Heredia out there, defensive guys, and maybe upside with the bat too. But typically power positions left and right field, and yet you want to have an athletic defensive outfield too.
Well, you know, we have one great advantage in the way we are built, our team is built, is that we have a third baseman with well above average power and a second baseman who gives extraordinary power for his position. So you combine that with a catcher who has the ability to hit 20 to 30 homers over a full season, and you can probably be a little more creative in what you're doing in the corner outfield positions. Probably doesn't hurt either that we got a 15-homer season out of Leonis, and don't think that that's impossible for him to recreate. He's got that kind of power and then some. But really do like Ben Gamel as a potential everyday player. He hits righties, he hits lefties, he gets on base, he can run, he can play defense. And we do feel like there will be some power when it's all said and done. He's still a 23-year-old guy. He's just cutting his teeth in the big leagues, and we feel like he will be a part of what we're doing in 2017. He'll come to camp with an opportunity to win playing time. We're not going to count on him to be an everyday guy, so to speak, but we are going to put him in a position to compete for those at-bats. And like you said, with Nori and Seth, Nori did a great job for us, particularly those last 2 months. And it's amazing, but somebody once told me that the fish find their water, and Nori Aoki, as sure as the sun rises, got back to his numbers. You know, he has been one of the more consistent players at posting his career line over and over, and he got right back to the same ballpark he's usually in an amazing way. And Seth Smith is just a pro. He gives you professional bats. He gives you some power. You know, Seth requires a platoon mate, and we knew that going in, and unfortunately for us this year, Nori also required a platoon mate, and that was something that we had to battle through because we weren't adjusted to that, and there's only so far Franklin Gutierrez could go toward providing a platoon mate for both. So we need to be a little bit more one person or one player centric in at least one of those spots. Gamel and Heredia are super athletes who can play defense and give us nice flexibility. I would imagine that between Seth and Nori Aoki and Franklin Gutierrez, we're going to have conversations about who or which or how each of them fit on our roster moving forward, and we'll make those decisions once we've had those conversations.
What are the chances that Tyler O'Neill jumps past the Rainiers and comes to Seattle?
I guess anything's possible. That wouldn't be our first plan. And in order for that to happen, it will mean that we'll have gone through the offseason without coming up with an adequate solution. Because it's in our perfect plan, Tyler will start next year in Tacoma. Now, whether he spends 15 days or 5 months there, I can't say. That's going to be defined by how he approaches it. There's still some development that we'd like to see from Tyler. He is a good outfielder. He's made great strides running the bases, and he's more athletic than you'd think for a guy who has the kind of power he has. He's a pretty good hitter. Now, his control of the strike zone really ramped up this year. He embraced the philosophy. He really gravitated toward it. And I think he started to press there toward the end when he saw a triple crown in his sights, and he let a little bit of his season get away from him in the last couple of weeks. But it was short-lived because he was phenomenal in the postseason. We're not going to hold him back. To us, you know, and we're going to leave camp with the guys we feel like are the 25 best players that we can put on the field, while also remembering that in the best interest of the player, we have to develop them appropriately. And we'll do the right thing for Tyler O'Neill so that we can, in the end, the ideal is to have him come to the big leagues and never have to go back. And very few players over the course of history ever experienced that. That's idea or plan A. And you know, when we feel like he's ready to be our everyday right fielder, we'll put him in right field and give him an opportunity and perhaps that's next April. There's a better chance that that's sometime during the 2017 season after April.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, from all of us here, we really appreciate your willingness, not just to talk with us every week, but how transparent and just open you've been about kind of your guys' approach to this. It's really helped us see and appreciate what's going on, and we love what we're seeing. And thanks again for just joining us throughout this season.
You got it. We're all in it together. You know, you guys, us, the fans, the more you know about it, the more you care. The more you care, the more you show up, and the more you show up, the better energy there is in the ballpark. So it's at the end of the day, we're all serving one another, and I'm excited about where this team's headed, and I hope everybody else is too. The offseason is as exciting a time for me, oftentimes, as it is during the regular season, and hopefully we deliver.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you,
Jerry.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.